Hey, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Squared Circle News. As you can see, I am joined by a special guest today, Amanda Russ from the B&B Mini Spotlight and Y&R Mini Spotlight that you watch on Sundays on JLJ Media. But what was a surprise to me, she's a wrestling fan. So, Amanda, welcome to Squared Circle News.
Thank you. Hi, guys. I'm so excited to be here.
No, I'm excited to have you here. Before we get into anything wrestling related, I do have to make an announcement. I did go ahead and post it on both on X and Facebook this morning or this afternoon. This morning, my grandmother passed away, and she's the one that actually got me into wrestling. She was 95 years old. I'm not sad. I'm not, I'm more feeling nostalgic because she lived a long life and I'm glad that she's not suffering anymore. But basically she met a lot of the wrestlers that used to go to her restaurant after wrestling would come to New Haven back in the 50s, 60s, 70s. And in honor of her, the I'm gonna be renaming the Suds and Squared Circle Studios as the Marie Apicella Studios. Just in her honor. So, I do want to kind of put that out there, announce that to everybody that going forward, the studios that I produce my podcast and film it from are going to be known as the Marie Apicella Studios going forward. So that's don't, it's not anything that I'm upset about, but it's just, I'm happy she's not suffering anymore. But with that now out of the way, a couple of things to go over. This will be dropped later on today. Today is Wednesday, the 7th of February, 2024. I'll be putting it up on YouTube and the podcast feed later today. We do have a lot to talk about. And before we even get started with any type of news, Amanda, kind of give us some background into how you came to like professional wrestling.
Okay, so my brother, I am the youngest of three, and my parent, I like to say a surprise. They were told that they couldn't have any more kids, and then I just appeared, right? I just showed up. So my brother is much older than me, and he was always into wrestling. And then we had the small like circuits here, just like the local, and he used to wrestle.
Oh, okay.
So it was so exciting to me as a kid because he was his thing was he was the lawyer. So he would come out, he was always a heel. He would come out and with his briefcase and hit people with his briefcase that's filled with whatever, you know? So it was so exciting. But my brother got me into it because he loves wrestling. Like he's just, and then he got hurt, which is what always happens, right? He couldn't do it anymore. But yeah, my dad, like it, my whole family loves wrestling.
Nice. That's awesome. You could probably talk to Matt from 10th Floor podcast because he also used to do independent wrestling. He used to be a manager in out in California, and he and I have talked about that. So, we were just talking about a little bit off air, but the genres of soap operas and wrestling are just so closely knit. There's a lot of crossover, but there's so many people that won't acknowledge that, and there's a lot of wrestling fans that, or soap fans that don't want to be associated with wrestling, and vice versa. It's amazing to me when the genre itself. The two genres are so similar.
They are.
It's storytelling. That's what it boils down to.
Yeah. And then on the soaps, it's similar as in they have heels. So they have like bad guys and they have good guys. And then they have people in between, right? On a soap, you're not sure, is he gonna do the right thing or the wrong thing? Yeah. So it's similar in that way.
Yeah, it really is. And it's funny because even before I started my podcasting, I would refer to soap opera characters as wrestling terminology. Like if I saw a villain come on, oh, he's a heel, or Sonny Corinthos on GH, he's a lead baby face, even though he's really a heel, he's a mob boss. So, they all have characters, they all have their different, backstories and their different attitudes. And yeah, it's the only thing you don't have in soap operas is referees.
Right. When you kind of do have the people who don't mind their business,
Right, yeah.
you kind of be like the
Exactly. Yes, you are exactly right. All right. So in the ongoing saga of Vince McMahon, I did ask you if you were comfortable talking about it. Just a lot of stuff coming out. Vince, obviously, as you all know, he did resign from the board of TKO. He gave up, his executive chairman role. He's no longer involved with the company. After all these allegations came out, back at the end of January, that was a very full week for WWE, for TKO in general. Just to kind of bring everybody up to speed, Janelle Grant, who's a former employee of WWE, brought forth some serious allegations against Vince McMahon. John Laurinaitis, who is the former head of talent relations and the WWE. I'm not going to go into it because I've read it before, and just the lawsuit was just so graphic. And John Laurinaitis, who is obviously the co-defendant, he came out through his lawyer, who is Edward Brennan out down from Tampa Bay, told Vice. Now, up until now, everybody's looking at it as, him being an active participant. And whatever happened. However, here's what his lawyer said and told Vice. Mr. Laurinaitis denies the allegations in the misguided complaint and will be vigorously defending these charges in court, not the media. Like the plaintiff, Mr. Laurinaitis is a victim in this case, not a predator. The truth will come out. And it goes on onto there. I'm reading it off of the Pursuit Sports website, but it's all over New York Post and it's major media. I'm gonna say this. I'm not, I'm not a judge. I'm not the jury. I wasn't there. But what I will say is, coming from an HR background, being in somebody, I've worked in HR. I've dealt with not cases like this. John Laurinaitis being head of talent relations, yes, he is a boss, especially if Ms. Grant was an assistant for talent relations. So yes, that makes him culpable. However, at the same time, if you're looking at it, part of the lawsuit is there was supposedly a threesome and this and that and the other thing. And when it comes to that, theoretically, yes, Mr. John Laurinaitis was a victim, based on the fact that Vince was his boss. So if he, if they engage in inappropriate activity, yes, theoretically, yes, that could be considered as a victim. Reading the lawsuit, though, and acting with it, if he and Ms. Grant were alone, he could have said something to the point of, let's not and say we did. Jim Cornette pointed that out as well. So theoretically, he's a victim, but I mean, if you're going to go with what Ms. Grant said, and again, this is all alleged, we don't know for sure, then I say he's just as big of a piece of garbage as Vince McMahon, if it's all true. Now, Vince also came out and said that he was going to vigorously defend himself, and that there were a lot of gross misstatements in the case. It's a mess. I'm going to ask you, as a member of the female community, and you haven't, you told me earlier you didn't pay too much attention to it. How are you looking at it? Does it affect your fandom at all as a wrestling fan, just with this kind of stuff being alleged to be going on behind the scenes?
No, like it doesn't make me, I'm still gonna watch wrestling. Like it does make me sad because it affects his legacy. Like Vince McMahon is the one who made wrestling what it is.
Yeah, exactly.
Like it just is. But it does bother me because this is not the first, it's not like this is the first allegation. If this was the first allegation, I would be like, okay, like he maybe she's exaggerating, maybe he's, telling the truth, but it's
Right.
multiple, over and over and over, multiple. And even his own wrestlers
Yep.
said they were put in situations where they were uncomfortable. So there's no excuse for that.
No, there's not.
I don't care how rich you are or how important you are.
Right.
You cannot treat females different because they're females. Like, that's just infuriating, honestly.
Yeah. No, you're exactly right. And it's like, because I was listening to 83 Weeks, Eric Bischoff's podcast earlier today, and Conrad Thompson, who's the pod father, and the head of every show, he said that it does affect his fandom as a fan. And I'm thinking about it, I'm like, okay, I could understand that to a point, but Vince McMahon was removed from TKO, removed from WWE. He no longer had anything to do with it. The same way that back in 2007, when Chris Benoit did what he did, and that was a horrible tragedy, and there were people that, just quit watching wrestling. It doesn't affect my wrestling fandom. Does it affect the way I look at the individuals that were involved? Yes. Does just same thing with Chris Benoit. I'm the kind of person where I could separate. Chris Benoit, fantastic wrestler in the ring,
Yes.
but one of the absolute best. But personal life, I'm sorry. You don't come back from killing your wife and son. And then, no matter how many concussions you had, you can blame it on CTE, you can blame it on whatever you want. It's just the fact that he did the action. So I'm sorry, I can't look at the person anymore, but I can recognize in-ring talent.
Right.
Same thing with Vince. If all this comes out that it's true and it happened, his legacy is tarnished, number one, but I can respect the fact that he's a shrewd businessman and he brought wrestling from the, territory system into what it is today. There would be no wrestling without Vince McMahon.
Right.
So I'm,
Exactly.
it's sad. It's something sad. The way Cody Rhodes said it at the press conference after the Royal Rumble, that it's a dark cloud over the WWE, and it really is. But I'm glad that there's a lot of positive going on. And we're going to start off the first positive start this past Saturday, Sunday night. NXT had their Vengeance Day pay-per-view, and while everybody was watching the Grammys and worried about who was wearing what, I was watching NXT Vengeance Day live on Peacock.
Me too.
And you know what? I have to say, it was a fantastic show. Shawn Michaels is probably Booker of the Year, in my opinion, no matter what Dave Meltzer says. I think that Shawn Michaels for NXT was the best move they could have done. When Triple H started NXT and they had the black and gold, and it was so great that they were able to finally get the TV deal on USA. But then Triple H had a heart attack, and his cardiac event came out of power. Vince got his hands on it, changed it to the multicolored unicorn, whatever, NXT 2.0. And it just kind of went down. Like they took a lot of what Triple H did and took it out. But ever since they brought Shawn Michaels in and Triple H came back into power, NXT has been killing it. Let me ask you, have with so much wrestling on today, what are your favorite promotions to watch?
Oh, I love NXT. I always watch it.
Okay.
I find it to be exciting because it's like up and coming.
Yep.
I feel like they're like up and coming, and it's fun to watch. And I find myself switching back and forth. Like, I'll be like, oh yeah, I'm on his side now. Yeah, I want him. And then the next week I'll be like, no, he needs to lose. It's very like exciting. I really like NXT a lot. And of course, Raw is,
Yeah.
Raw.
Yes. It
But
does.
I try to watch all of them. It gets to be a lot though,
It
right?
does. There's so much on. Obviously Monday Night Raw, Friday Night SmackDown, NXT's on Tuesdays. I'll be honest, I don't watch AEW. AEW is not my cup of tea. I tried to watch it at the beginning. I'm a big Chris Jericho fan, and back when AEW started, I made the comment. Probably you'll probably look at my Twitter history, but Chris Jericho, or well, Hulk Hogan was to the WWE, Chris Jericho was to AEW, and that Chris Jericho is the next Hogan to bring wrestling into the next generation. But I'm sorry, I can't see it.
Yeah, I don't watch it. I couldn't. I had a hard time getting into it too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It just and it has nothing to do to me. It's AEW is like an indie show with a budget. And nothing against indie shows, because indie shows can be great, but you don't get a lot of storytelling in indie shows because you don't know if everybody's gonna be coming back the next show next month. You don't know if the same, guys are gonna be on the card. So you're putting together dream matches. You're putting together, matches to help the guys get over, or you have, a former WWE guy coming in to have a match with one of your top students, or whatever the case may be. That's what an indie show is. That's what makes indie shows great. When you're a national company, you have to put the storytelling together. You have to
Right.
do that, and it just isn't there for AEW. But there's also TNA, which actually, they're breaking news out of the TNA camp. Scott D'Amore, who was the president of TNA, has been ousted by Anthem Sports, and Anthony Chacon, I believe that's how his name is spelled or his name is pronounced, will be the new day-to-day president of TNA. I don't have any other news on that except for just the news itself. I don't know the backstory. I don't know anything else. So stay tuned to PW Insider or whoever else get your daily wrestling news from, and I'll have more on that next week as if any more comes out. All right, back to NXT Vengeance Day. Overall, what grade do you give the show?
Oh, I gave it an A plus. I loved it.
I did too. I thought the I really thought that the ending, we'll get to the ending in a little while, but the ending with Carmelo Hayes and Trick Williams was the biggest story of the night, and the ending was fantastic. I love what WWE is doing now, in that they're doing stuff after the little bug comes up with the trademark, because there's a lot of people that are going to say, oh, it's over, okay, whatever. But then, bam. We saw with the Survivor Series. After that, CM Punk came out, and then down here, after the bug is on, then you have Carmelo Hayes attacking Trick Williams, which we all saw coming, but it was still a shock.
See, I'm so naive because I believed him. I was like, why are y'all being mean? He's being set up. I thought that he was being set up by someone else who wanted Trick and Mello to not be friends anymore, maybe dragging off, I don't know. But I was thinking like, okay, he's being set up.
Yeah.
There's no way he's that. And then I was devastated.
That it's just amazing to me that they did, because they threw a swerve in there where they almost thought they were going to put the heat on Lexus King, that he was the one that attacked Trick, and trying to drive the wedge between Trick and Carmelo. But in the end, it turned out that Trick having the spotlight, and it's the oldest, Trick, it's oldest story in the book, but he didn't like the fact that Trick was getting the spotlight, and I'm sorry, I could see Trick Williams as a WrestleMania main eventer down the road in the next 3 to 5 years. He's that good.
Yeah, I agree. I'm a huge fan of Trick. I am. I'm a fan of Mello too. And you're right. I think it's jealousy because now everyone's chanting for Trick and Mello don't love that, does he?
No, he doesn't. And Trick Williams probably gets the loudest pop of the NXT shows, and the fact that the champ whooped that trick, I don't even know what the heck it means, but it's out there. Everybody's chanting it. It's similar to what Jey Uso is doing on the Monday Night Raw.
Right.
Everybody's behind him. And it's like, I'm sorry, but the booking has been fantastic on NXT to get this there. But let's kind of go in order before we get to the first match on the card was Baron Corbin and Bron Breakker defeating the Trick Mello gang, Trick and Carmelo. This story was kind of weaved throughout the night with Trick and Carmelo. Bron Breakker and Baron Corbin won the Dusty Cup, which is why they were in this match. I like the team of Baron Corbin and Bron Breakker. I think Baron Corbin going back to NXT was probably the best thing he could have done.
Yeah, because he confuses me a little. Like I'm not, it's like he can't decide what who he wants to be, or like he can't decide who he's gonna be. Like, you know, so sometimes I'm confused by him, but I think they're a good match, like a good tag team, but I don't, they're not actual friends. So I'm sure we're gonna see them go, you know, head to head eventually.
I don't know whether they're going to go head to head. I think that Braun is on his way up to the main roster very soon. We did see at the Royal Rumble that he basically took over what was supposed to be Brock Lesnar's spot. He entered when Brock was supposed to come in. He eliminated the same people Brock was supposed to, and then he got eliminated the way that Brock was supposed to by Dominic Mysterio. I know that they were originally going to do Brock and Dominic at Elimination Chamber. I haven't heard whether they're going to have Braun come up and do that or not. So that might just be completely off the table. But I could see Braun coming up to the main roster by WrestleMania. He's just that good. He's a, his athleticism, his character work has gotten a lot better. His promos are better. He's going to be a star.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. I would be real shocked if he wasn't. I agree.
Yeah, and I like and Baron Corbin has kind of, it's funny because there are so many people that are kind of going with the whole finish the story thing on Cody, and we'll get to that later. But Baron Corbin finished his story this weekend because 9 years ago, he and Rhino were in the finals of the Dusty Cup. They ended up losing to Samoa Joe and Finn Balor. And then now he comes back and he's actually the winner of the Dusty Cup. So that was quote unquote finishing his story, completing the cycle, completing the circle of whatever. So, comes full circle for him. And, it's like I like Baron Corbin as the lone wolf character. I think when they brought him up to Monday Night Raw and they had him wear the sweater vests, being the, Constable Corbin and then King Corbin, it's almost like they didn't know what to do with him. But the Lone Wolf Corbin, absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, I agree. That I think that he should stick with that because I think that works for him.
Yes, absolutely it does. But the match itself was fantastic. And then the finish kind of led into the end of the story. Bron Breakker was going to go spear Trick Williams, and Mello pushed him out of the way, took the spear. That's the finish. 1, 2, 3. Bron and Baron win it. And it kind of shows that, we all thought they were going to stay friends. Mello took the heat, knowing that took the spear, knowing that Trick had to come back and wrestle again for the world t for the NXT title. So he sacrificed himself. What friend wouldn't do that?
Right.
So we go into the final match as, thinking, okay, Carmelo's going to be there for Trick, but it just doesn't happen.
It does not. I was very sad.
Yeah, I mean it was but we'll get there after. The next match, Dijak against Joe Gacy in a no DQ match. It wasn't my favorite match of the show, I'll be honest. Too much in terms of foreign objects, and I don't know. It wasn't my favorite match, but the action was good if you like that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it was a lot of yeah, I agree. It was very I'm trying to think of what's the word. There was a lot of action, let's put it that way, for sure.
It was.
And
I think
I'm
what
sorry.
really, I think the part that turned me off was when Joe Gacy duct taped Dijak's eye and kind of put duct tape around his head and then put him into the put him through the table and the Legos and all that. It's like I couldn't get into that. That's what turned it off for me. And yeah, I watched ECW, but there was a time and a place for that. Like I don't know. Maybe I'm just starting to sound a little old.
He's like, no, not the eyes. The first thing I thought was, there goes his eyelashes and eyebrows.
Well, that's not something what I thought of, but he ended up, but Dijak ended up hitting it the feast your eyes to get the victory. So, Dijak won either way. But Joe Gacy is probably a great character. He's almost like the next Mick Foley.
Yeah.
You could see at the end, after being beaten, he was smiling. So that's something we haven't seen in quite a while.
And he does a weird hanging upside down,
Yeah.
crazy scary face. And I'm like, you know what? That's kind of scary, actually.
Kind of like Bray Wyatt, kind of channeling Bray Wyatt, the late great Bray Wyatt. All right. Moving on, the family, Tony D'Angelo and Channing Stacks Lorenzo, they teamed up with their newest member of their faction, Adriana Rizzo. They took on OTM, which stands for On the Money, Bronco Nima, Lucien Price, and Jada Parker, with Scripps in their corner. Great match. I really liked the family. Being Italian myself, it's like I'm glad the Paisans won. I don't know. I like it. I like the six-man mixed tag. And there's not much more you could go with it, but I like how they're bringing up these newer characters. Like there's more character work in NXT than there is on the main roster, in my opinion.
Right, yeah, there is, and I like the both of the female wrestlers in this situation, both of them were very aggressive and
Work.
like, I'm going for it. Like, that's it. I'm going after the guys and everything. Like,
Yeah.
I thought it was exciting. It was an exciting match.
It was exciting. I felt bad for one of the OTM members. I'm not sure which one it was, but it looks like he took a lot of shots to the head. I think it might have been a Bronco Nima, if I'm not mistaken, but I don't know which one it was, but just one of the shots in the corner where he comes up, he gets hit, he kind of comes up and he kind of has that dazed look on his head, on his face, and it looked like he came down on his head a couple of times. Haven't heard anything about any injuries coming out of the match or the show, so that's good. So obviously it wasn't anything major, but it just looked like it was bad, but it wasn't. So I can't complain with that. But the family, they won the six person match, and they're still the NXT Tag Team Champions, even though the titles weren't on the line. The finish being a twisting fisherman suplex on Bronco Lima, and the family won. D'Angelo won that match. So this one was actually a really good one. The next one, the NXT Women's Championship match. Lyra Valkyria, the original match was Lyra Valkyria defending against Roxanne Perez, the former champion, who never lost the title. She had to give it up because of a health problem. And the match at the beginning was very good. And then we saw Lola Vice cash in the title opportunity that you won from the breakout tournament, similar to Money in the Bank, and turned into a triple threat match. And this was right when Roxanne Perez had hit the pop rocks and was going for the pin.
Of course. Of course.
Yeah. So it was similar, it was kind of similar to the WrestleMania 31 match with Roman Reigns, Brock Lesnar, and Seth Rollins, turning into a triple threat match. And let me tell you, the NXT women, for any kind of anything that anybody wants to say, the NXT women's division is absolutely fantastic. They take the time to develop their talent. They take the time to work on their character and their wrestling ability. So, I mean, you really can't fault people for liking the division. I'm sure they're working with not only William Regal but also Fit Finlay, and a lot of these guys are just, great with women's matches. How did you see this match going, in terms of the action?
I do want to say I agree. I think next, they try to make their shows even,
Yes.
with like the same amount of female action as men on each show, which I appreciate a lot. I thought it was a really good match, and I love that they're both tiny because I'm tiny. And you know what? Rey Mysterio can beat up people three times his size, all
That's very
right?
true.
So, but I thought it was great. And I actually like Lola. Like, I think she has the potential to be a big star, I think.
She does, yeah.
But at the time, I was like, no, don't yash it now.
Well, Lola Vice has a rich history in MMA. She's an accomplished MMA fighter. Roxanne Perez, who's called
Prodigy.
the Prodigy, yeah. Trained by Booker T. She started when she was really young. She's still very young. I mean, but she was a former Ring of Honor champion back when she was known as Roxy. But just fantastic. Valkyria won with the aid of Tatum Paxley, who, she neutralized Roxanne Perez, and Valkyria hit the Nightwish on Lola Vice, and she kept the title. So it was a fantastic match either way. And Valkyria is just a great women's champion. The entire roster is just fantastic.
Yeah, I really like her actually. I think she's really, really talented.
She is absolutely. All right, moving on. You did mention Rey Mysterio a little while ago. The next Rey Mysterio, in my opinion at least, Dragon Lee, did go up against Oba Femi to try to win back his NXT North American Championship. This is my first time really seeing Oba Femi. I don't watch NXT every week. I can't, it's one of those things where, like we said before, there's too much wrestling on. But,
Yeah, there is.
and then keeping up with the wrestling and the soap operas, just there's not enough time in the week to do that.
I agree.
But this is my first time seeing Oba Femi. And let me tell you something, the way they did the match was fantastic. It was like classic David versus Goliath. Oba Femi's like 6'7", 330 pounds. Dragon Lee is like 5'7", 180 pounds or 190 pounds. Just the way they did that match, and I got to give credit to Shawn Michaels and the booking team down at NXT. This is one of the best David versus Goliath matches I've seen in a long time. Because you see how, there have been guys that have come in, whether it's big, even starting from his back as Big Show, Great Khali, Braun Strowman, Omos. You have these bigger guys come in who should be attractions, and you have them in regular matches every week. And the fact that Oba Femi is the NXT champ and NXT North American champion means he's there all the time. But if you can keep the attraction fresh and not wear out his welcome, and put him in matches where he's going to be challenged by a little guy, but he ends up winning anyways, that's the best way to book a big guy. Who's gonna, the question comes, who's gonna take the title off of him? He's just a powerhouse. And they spotlighted the size. He threw Dragon Lee around. Dragon Lee had a fighting chance. Being somebody who watched Rey Mysterio, and you said you're a smaller person yourself, how do you see these David versus Goliath matches?
I get it. They're showcasing how big he is.
Yes.
Like, what better way than to put him up against someone who is smaller, you know? I guess I like to see him the high flying, so I appreciate that. But honestly, it's like you already know
Yeah.
who's gonna win.
Oh,
Like,
yeah.
and then it makes me feel kind of bad, like poor Dragon Lee, you know? Like, oh, but yeah, it's still exciting. Like, I see why you need this kind of match.
Yes.
And he held his own pretty good for a while, so it's
Absolutely.
not like he, you know, just got killed.
Right. It wasn't a squash match. It was a great match. Dragon Lee unfortunately got hit with a pop-up power bomb, and Obafemi won. But Obafemi is fantastic. I mean, like I said, it's my first time seeing him, and I've got to say, I could see him being big in the future.
Yeah, he was very impressive.
But Dragon Lee himself, I mean, kind of taking a side note, we saw Dragon Lee as the North American champion. He did beat Dominic Mysterio, who had it for a while, and then at Survivor Series, he was on the main roster, taking over for Santos Escobar. No, I'm sorry, he fought Santos Escobar, who took over for Car yeah, he took over for Carlito against Santos Escobar. But he's had main roster, exposure, and not to mention his two brothers are in AEW, Commander and El Hijo del Vikingo. I think they're all three brothers, if I'm not mistaken. But either way, they're all three luchadors, and Dragon Lee chose to come to WWE, and he's rocking it. He really is the next Rey Mysterio, and a lot of times, when you look at like a masked wrestler, and this is one of the biggest things that is the difference between Lucha Libre in Mexico and, American style of wrestling. When you have a masked wrestler, you can't always see the facial features, which is how you're selling. But wearing a style of a mask similar to a Rey Mysterio and a Dragon Lee, where they kind of, it's a mask, but you don't have the chin strap all the time. You can see the facial features, the way they're selling, to get the emotion behind them. You don't always get that in international. It's a different style of wrestling. So before we get to the main event of NXT, you said that you said that you watched a lot of local stuff growing up and you got into WWE. What other kind of wrestling like influence shaped your fandom? Were you a big fan during the Monday Night Wars? Who'd you side with, WCW or WWE? And so forth.
We would have debates, right? Because I always was W, it was WWF,
Yeah.
right? I was always WWF, right? And my brother and my cousin were WCW. So then
Oh,
we would
okay.
like argue, you know, and my favorite. I have multiple favorites, but one of my absolute favorites was Mr. Perfect.
Okay, yep.
So he has, you know how he was in both.
Yeah, yep.
He would go, so then I would go back and forth, but I was more WWF,
Okay.
like when growing up.
Yeah.
And I loved the Wars and the NWO and all of it. And do you remember the whole Sting?
Yes.
When Sting, I remember Sting when he was blonde.
Yeah. Yep.
I don't know
Surfer
if people
Sting.
remember
Yep.
that.
Surfer
I'm
Sting.
telling my age now. But yeah, and then the whole like where he turned,
Yep.
right? And he's like, you know, completely different. He
Yes.
went like completely different. So like all of that, I watched in all of that era, you
Okay.
know, of
Yep.
And then I'd have been out of it for a little while and recently got back like really into it again. Because you know how life is.
Oh, yeah.
And you're right. It is hard to keep up with the soaps and all the wrestling. Like it's a lot.
It really is a lot. Now I sense a little bit of an accent. Are you from the South?
Oh, really? Do you?
Okay.
I am in Mississippi right now.
And it's funny that you say that you were more WWF as you were growing up, because when it comes to a lot of the Southern fans, they generally go more towards the WCW, the NWA, Jim Crockett, Bill Watts and that kind of stuff. And WWF was mainly Northeast. I'm in Connecticut. So yeah, I was more exposed to the WWF. So, what are some of your earliest memories of wrestling? In terms of the national, besides the local stuff, but what are some of your earliest memories of wrestling and WWF?
So we would do like pay-per-views, right? So back in the day, guys, you
Back in the day, yeah.
had to pay like a lot to watch a
Yeah.
pay-per-view of wrestling, right? So we would all go in together, right? So like my cousin, my dad, my uncle, we'd all go in together, pay for it, right? And then we would all watch it together, like at my dad's or at my uncle's. And that is like the best, some of the best times,
Yes.
like growing up that I remember. And I was so into Yokozuna
Yeah.
and like the and Hulk Hogan being able to body slam. Do you remember that? I was
Yeah,
so
right.
hyped for
Yep.
that. Like I was like on cloud nine, right? Like he's gonna do it. I know he's gonna do it, you know? But like also I was watching live when the Owen Hart thing happened,
Yeah.
and that was quite traumatic, I'm not gonna lie. I feel like, and I to this day, I don't know if this is a popular opinion, but I feel like the show should have been stopped. I know it's the whole like business and the show must go on, but not in this situation.
Agreed.
Like the poor female wrestlers and managers at the time were trying to do their promos and they were crying.
Yeah.
Like it was just the most crazy thing to watch live
Yeah.
because you didn't actually see exactly what was going on, but you heard, you could hear, like,
Yeah.
because they turned the lights out.
Yeah.
So you could hear and see people running, and it was just very like, whoa. And I wish he would have stopped the show, I'll be honest.
And that's one of those topics that's going to be debated until the end of time. You're right. On one hand, the show must go on, but when it comes to the the scripted sense of WWE, and the fact is you could have easily done something next, finished the stuff on Raw the next night or the next week or whatever the case may be. And yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where you could even say, oh yeah, Owen would have wanted to go on or whatever. Injuries happen. Yeah, injuries happen, not death. You know what I mean?
Right.
When something like that, I mean, you could have said anything. You could have said the safety of the ring because there was an indentation in the ring where Owen landed. And it was talked about to death, no pun intended, on the Dark Side of the Ring episode of Owen Hart. And there are many people, and I'm someone included, where Owen deserves to be in the WWE Hall of Fame. There's no doubt
Yes.
about it, with the rest of the Hart family. We Brett's in there, Brett and Jim as the Hart Foundation, the Bulldogs in there. We could see Brian Pillman going in this year. Owen deserves to be there. And there's a lot of people that blame Martha Hart for not wanting Owen Hart to have anything to do with the WWE or the WWE to make any money off of Owen Hart's name. I understand that to a point, But I think where there needs to be some kind of a compromise where you say, okay, any earnings that will come in would go directly to the Owen Hart Foundation because it's for the fans. You know, and I get it. There's no physical WWE Hall of Fame as of yet, but you know, it's for the fans. You know, you honor him by the way, you know, the fans want to honor him. Who knows? Maybe that's the next thing that TKO will be able to put together. Vince is no longer there. You know, Triple H is in charge of creative, but he has nothing, no say so in the board or the business. The Rock was a huge friend of Owen Hart, who's now on the board at TKO. So I don't know. We could always hope. But
I didn't mean to bring
no.
the bring it down to sad. I'm sorry, but that was one thing that really, like, the whole thing just was crazy to me. And then on top of it, he was just like he was coming out again
Yeah.
as his new character, which was an old character, but
Right.
as his new,
Yeah.
and so his family was there. That was just out of respect for the Hart family in general. I would have stopped the show. That's just me personally, if I was the in charge.
Yeah. No, it's definitely something that's going to be debated, but I agree with you that the show should have been stopped. All right, let's get back into NXT and
We
the
went off the rails, didn't we?
event. Well, hey, that's what it's all about. That's what podcasting is all about. You know, where you come in and you get sidetracked, you go off on tangents, sidebars, or whatever you want to call them, and it's just a way to talk about wrestling.
Longer than fun, right?
Yeah, exactly. The main event of NXT Vengeance Day was Ilya Dragunov defending his NXT championship against Trick Williams. Trick Williams, we've said it before, he's over. He's going to be a star. And you see a little tease at during the match where Carmelo Hayes kind of gets involved because he's in Trick's corner. You know, he's there to support his friend. But he gets into Ilya's face on the outside. And then Ilya throws Carmelo clips Trick's knee at the right by the stairs on the outside. So that sets up kind of like Trick's already hurt, is hurt. You know, he's got some, you know, he's got a little bit of an injury. But either way, you know, he got back in the ring, he kept on fighting, and Dragunov ended up hitting the Torpedo Moscow, which is a championship, his finisher, and ended up allowing him to retain the NXT title. But that's kind of burying the lead. After the match, we thought it was all over. Carmelo Hayes is in the ring with Trick saying, you know, you'll get him next time, whatever. But he ended up hitting him from behind in the knee and just smashing his leg with a steel chair. Just absolutely horrendous beat down,
Yeah.
and then just sat over Trick to end the show. Just amazing story work, and but Carmelo Hayes breaking up that partnership with Trick and Carmelo, which Trick was there for everything for Carmelo Hayes. It's almost similar to like a Shawn Michaels Diesel situation, you know, back in the 90s, you know.
Good point.
Sean always wanted the spotlight when Sean had to go away for a little while, whether it was contract or injury or whatever, I forget what it was. Diesel got into the spotlight and Sean couldn't handle it. So they broke up the team. But amazingly, this match was fantastic. How do you see Carmelo Hayes now? We've seen him as both a baby face and a heel, you know, and now he's a heel one more time.
Oh, I was, now that you say it, like looking back, now that you say it, I do see the hints they were dropping, but I just didn't want to believe it. But even at the time, like watching it, even I was like, what is he doing? Like, why is he keep getting involved? Like, just you're there for support. Like, what are you doing? So then, of course, He hurts Trip on accident,
Yeah.
of course. So then you're like, dude, really? Like, what are you doing? So now, yeah, I guess I shouldn't have been so shocked.
But the way they put it together, even though, like I said, and I said it before, even though a lot of people knew it was coming, the way it happened, it was a shock. We didn't know it was going to happen at, at that point in time. And, it was absolutely fantastic how things were put together. So I give them huge props.
Yeah,
And
and I like Dragunov too. See, this is a problem because I like all three.
yep.
And I like Dragunov, but he cracks me up. Like, he gets mad over everything. I feel like if you held the elevator for him, he'd be like, why the hell? Who said you can hold the elevator for me? I didn't ask you to do that. Like, he gets mad at everything. It's so funny to me.
I thought, yeah, I like Ilya. I liked his matches with Gunther. Now, back when he was Walter, but the matches were fantastic. I'm glad he's the NXT champion. The way that WWE is cultivating the NXT stars, is so great because they're going to be able to now go from NXT to the WWE, to the main roster, whether it be Raw or SmackDown. We see Tiffany Stratton going to SmackDown, and we see Monday Night Raw getting, Ciampa and Gargano are on Raw. The Creed brothers are on Raw, so they're seamlessly integrating into the main roster storylines. So I just think it's great. Dragon Lee again on SmackDown as well, helping out with the LWO. They're just seamlessly going back and forth. And NXT has kind of had a, kind of like an image problem because, yeah, it started out as developmental. And then when Triple H came out and said, oh no, it's just our third brand, it's just another brand. I think, and then NXT 2.0 happened and it was back down to a developmental. And I think right now it's being treated more as a developmental than anything else because think about it. When, using a baseball analogy, you have the majors, and then you have AAA. Where does somebody go when they're hurt? They go down to AAA to rehab. While they're down there, you have the younger players who haven't made it to the roster, main roster yet, and they're able to ask questions, they're able to get advice, they're able to work out with them and work with them. So by having guys like Baron Corbin and, Becky Lynch was down there for a while, and Charlotte and Natalia, and the LWO was down there, Joaquin Wild and Cruz del Toro, they have main roster experience, but they're coming down to help out the next guy. So, even Carmelo Hayes and Trick Williams were on SmackDown, last week. So, they're getting the experience. They're not there every week, but they're getting that experience, and then they're able to help out the younger crew.
Yeah,
All right.
I agree. I like NXT a lot. I hope that they keep going in the direction they're going because, like you said, they have changed it multiple times and it's been different things. So I like how it is now. I
Yes.
like the direction.
Absolutely. All right. So we did talk earlier that we were going to go over both NXT and Monday Night Raw. Monday Night Raw, I'm not going to go match by match. 3-hour show could be kind of daunting to go through. Let me ask you something. Did you watch SmackDown last Friday?
I missed it. I missed it.
Okay.
I just saw the highlights.
Okay. Did you see Cody Rhodes coming out and saying that he will take Roman Reigns' title, but not at WrestleMania, and then The Rock comes out?
Right.
Seemingly that they're setting up Rock and Roman Reigns for WrestleMania. Now, we've heard, this is from what we've heard, that when CM Punk got hurt, it kind of changed a lot of the directions, and Brock Lesnar, the situation with Brock, it changed a lot of creative, the decision that we're going. They were setting up for Cody and Roman for WrestleMania, and then CM Punk and Seth Rollins for that title. With Punk getting hurt, he's out torn triceps, he's out for 7 to 8 months, so he's not gonna miss Mania. So now they're pivoting. The match that everybody wants, you know, that everybody's been looking forward to since this entire Bloodline storyline started, The Rock and Roman Reigns. You know, so The Rock comes out. They WWE actually had to take that clip off of their YouTube because it was the most disliked clip for WWE history. Like, there were 35,000 likes, there were over 100,000 dislikes. And when on Saturday night at their house show, their live event, they showed the footage and they got booed out of the building. The fact that hashtag we want Cody was trending all weekend on X. So amazingly, it just so happens that new information is coming out. Don't know how true it is. There's actually conflicting reports. One is saying that The Rock was guaranteed the WrestleMania main event as part of him coming into the board at TKO.
That's what I read. I read that.
I did read that as well. However, one thing I also read was that The Rock is a big fan of Cody's and wanted to make Cody a bigger star. So they, because if you remember, because, you know, if you saw the clip, The Rock didn't really say anything when he came out. He didn't actually challenge Roman Reigns for the title. He didn't challenge anybody. He just kind of shook Cody's hand and left. So he didn't actually challenge him. Of course, the fans jumped to conclusions. You know, coming up tomorrow on Thursday at, I forget what time, I think it's 2 o'clock Eastern, in Las Vegas, they're having the WrestleMania press conference where all the contracts, the main contracts, are going to be signed. Apparently, at Raw on Monday, we saw everybody have the signs that say hashtag we want Cody. Apparently, The Rock was the one that passed them out. And it was his directive to pass them out. So by the fans thinking that Cody's not going to be able to finish his story, it did make Cody that much bigger. He's the biggest baby face, you know. During the Seth Rollins and Cody Rhodes promo in the beginning of the night at the beginning of Raw, people were chanting "Rocky sucks," and it was hilarious because, you know, Seth Rollins made a comment like, "Oh, I didn't think that was, you know, I didn't expect that to happen." And Michael Cole on commentary saying, "The fans are saying Rocky sucks. Is this 1996?"
I'm cracking up.
I loved it. So it could be a huge work. I mean, even those who are big fans who consider themselves insiders could be getting worked at this. Couple scenarios could happen tomorrow. It could be where The Rock says, "Oh, Roman, you got to read the actual contract before you sign, or after Roman signs it. Read the contract. I'm not fighting you at WrestleMania. I'm going to be the special guest referee. Cody's facing you to finish the story. I'm there to make sure that there's no outside interference." It could be. It could also be where, you know, maybe Seth is to her, you know, because we know he's got a knee injury. Maybe he just can't wrestle and he'll be out for Mania. So you have Cody versus The Rock, Cody versus WrestleMania, Cody versus Roman, if I can get the words out. Cody versus Roman night one, and then Roman versus The Rock night two after Cody wins the championship because he said, "I'm going to take everything away from you." So there are a couple of possibilities. There also could be a triple threat option. I don't foresee The Rock being in a triple threat match, but I don't know. There's just a lot of stuff coming out now that it could be, and they're selling tickets to the press conference tomorrow in Vegas for like $2,000. So I'm going to be watching it for on Peacock. So I'm not paying that much. I've already
$2,000?
$2,000 for the VIP experience for the press conference. Yes.
Wow.
I wasn't expecting
Wow.
but yes, so I mean, I'm gonna be watching on Peacock either way. And The Rock knows how to create headlines. He knows how to this whole We Want Cody movement was picked up by TMZ and Barstool Sports, and a wrestling storyline never gets that kind of mainstream media. So it could have been a whole ploy from The Rock, being like, listen, the Vince thing was picked up by mainstream media. We got to turn the pe perception around. We got to have them talking positive about it. You know, however, there's a lot of consequences that comes with being part of wrestling Twitter. Ava Raine, who's The Rock's daughter, you know, she's the new general manager of NXT. And it makes me sad to be a part of wrestling Twitter. She was receiving death threats on Twitter because of, you know, The Rock supposedly taking, you know, Cody's place at WrestleMania. Be better, people. I'm sorry.
Why?
And she.
Because the wrestling and the soap fans,
Yes.
like the soap fans will go nuts about stuff and they'll send all kinds of mean threats and like just and it's like, what are you doing? You know, like
I mean, I get it. You're able to be fans of whoever you want, be fans, you know, show your support, be upset. That's great. But don't take it to the point where you're gonna do death threats against somebody that doesn't even involve. Like she put out a tweet saying, why are you bringing me into this? I'm trying to run a show, you know, and then she deactivated her Twitter. You know, Solo Sikoa last week deactivated his Twitter because people were finding old tweets from when he was in high school saying he hated math and this other kind of stuff. And it's like, really? Like, why? What's the drive to do that? I don't get it. Social media is toxic, very
it
toxic.
is.
And you're right, comparing it to soap Twitter. I remember over the summer, I pissed off the Sabrina Nation, which is probably one of the most toxic fan bases in all of soap Twitter. And if you don't see things their way, they're very bullyish, you know, and not everybody, but of course you get those few that are, you know, that don't care. Like they feel they're anonymous because they're on social media, and they'll say whatever the hell they want. You know, and it's sad. It really is sad that, you know, social media is there to connect with friends from long lost and then, you know, talk to other fans and get to know people, not to wish death on somebody because of a wrestling storyline, or
Right.
not to, you know, call somebody names because they don't agree with your ship or your relationship fandom, you know, just. I know that James had some problems with social media earlier last year, so he kind of went dark on the mini spotlight episodes for a little while. Have you faced any kind of, you know, I know that you have a Twitter handle, but I, you know, I don't see it posting too much.
I have my podcast, the Bold and Beautiful Podcast. And yeah, like I've gotten negative messages and stuff, and I just block them. Like I try to be kind of neutral, but I'm also not gonna lie. I'm gonna be honest.
Exactly.
So it makes me mad because it's an opinion show. So how can you get mad at us for giving our opinion?
No, you're exactly right.
Like that is, it's an opinion show that we do on YouTube. Like what, you can't get mad at our opinion, right? Like
No, you're exactly right. And I'm sure 10th Floor will talk about it this coming weekend, but I was reading something. He had pointed out that, you know, of course, kind of going over to switching gears to General Hospital a little bit, but you know, Nicholas Alexander Chavez, who plays Spencer Considine, he got tasked to work with you know, Netflix on a show for about the Menendez boys, and he's playing one of them, so he had to take some time off. So the whole point, you know, they killed him off, you know, he's presumed dead, and you know, because they can't find the body, he'll be back. He's still got a contract, but you know, it's like a lot of the Sabrina Nation is like, oh, Trina should be on every day, and she should be mourning every day, and this and that and the other thing. And it's like 10th Floor pointed out, she's not a lead actor. She's not one of the main actors, and who knows, maybe in her contract she could only be on so many dates, so you know she shouldn't be on every day. Yeah, she's got to grieve. Yeah, she's gonna have the time to grieve when it, friends, family, the memorial service, what have you. She's gonna be there throughout it all. But you also have to look at the fact that she's not a leading character. She's not one of the people, and these are all facts. I mean, I'm sure that Laura Wright, who plays Carly, has more dates in her contract than Tabian Ali.
Oh
Tabian,
yeah, positive. Positive on
yeah.
that.
I mean,
Yeah.
Carly may have a guarantee of 150 or 200 dates a year, whereas Tabian Ali, she may have a 75 to 150 dates per year, or whatever the case may be. So, thinking about it that way, logically, and he's getting people calling him racist because it's against Trina, and it's sad the world that we live in, where everything comes down to that. And I'm not, and I'm not trying to, say that anybody's, in the wrong, but when you're taking something so seriously, it's a TV show. Why does
Right.
it matter so much to you that somebody else has a different opinion?
Yeah.
Like, you see it in wrestling, you see it in politics. Don't even get me started on politics. And then you see it in soap Twitter. So it's bad. It really is. But
Is. I always say, like, you can have your opinion, that's fine.
yeah,
Like, everyone has one,
exactly.
but you. It's a TV show, guys. Like, it's not real. And
Yes.
the actors don't write it.
Right.
Like, they just show up and do what they're told.
Yeah.
Like, they have nothing to do with the story.
Yep.
So it's like people just like Annika has gotten death threats and on Bold, she plays Hope.
Yep.
It's just crazy. It's crazy the lengths that people will go to.
Yeah, it's horrible. It really is. So I'm actually putting together at some point, I'm going to be putting together a, I know James does, shows about mental health and Zoom events and stuff, but I'm going to be putting one together for a podcast about social media and mental health. And I'm working on somebody who works in the field of mental health to come on so that people could talk about it and discuss it and be like, things need to change. That's all there is to it. But it's ridiculous. That's why I see so many people staying off Twitter, stay on Instagram, stay on Facebook. Well, more Instagram. Instagram seems like a friendlier place, at least.
Yeah.
All right. So obviously you said that Mr. Perfect was one of your favorites. Is that the first person that you gravitated towards when you were younger as being your favorite wrestler?
Oh yeah, and when I was this one, now I was small, but I loved the Junkyard Dog. Do you
Okay.
remember him?
Yep.
Huge fan of him. I liked the Hart family. I was a Bret Hart fan. I know that's very controversial.
I've never been a Bret Hart fan, so I it's okay. I get it.
Well, you know, I don't, I don't, I can't explain it. I like the glasses, I guess.
Honestly, I liked the Hart Foundation, but it's funny because I've always been a huge Hulk Hogan fan. I'm a Hulkamaniac to the day I die. But it's funny because I also like Ravishing Rick Rude, who was a heel. I wasn't a huge fan of the Ultimate Warrior. And I liked, the match that they had at WrestleMania 5 was, for the Intercontinental title. Yeah, I was rooting for Rick Rude. And, people had asked me, like, how could you like Hogan and Rude? Maybe it's because, I can't explain it, but I like Bobby Heenan. So it's,
Yeah.
and I'm sorry, as an adult, Bobby Heenan, re-listening a lot of the to the a lot of the commentary back then with him and Gorilla Monsoon especially, fantastic. The best commentary duo in history.
Yeah. Hilarious.
Absolutely. But yeah, so it's like you pick and choose who you want based on whatever characteristics, whether they're rational or irrational. I was the kind of person where I didn't like anybody who thought that challenged Hulk Hogan. Back then, as a kid, I chose Hogan over the Warrior. And Hulk, Warrior was always second best in my opinion.
Me too.
But as I got older, and sorry, hearing about the backstage stuff, what turned me off to Bret Hart, I don't get me wrong, I can always appreciate his in-ring talent. And fantastic, one of the best all-around wrestlers ever. What I didn't like was that he thought that he was as big as Hulk Hogan. But I also was the kind of person where I went from Hulk Hogan and then I went to Lex Luger, because he was the American hero. He was the next Hogan. But because the steroid scandal, that ended his skew smaller to, Bret Hart, 234 pounds. He didn't have the 24-inch pythons like Hogan. He wasn't as built as Luger.
Right.
So I get it. But then I went to Shawn Michaels. So it's like I kind of just was always, I was never a Bret Hart fan. By the way, there's going to be an episode of Squared Circle News where Matt from the 10th floor comes on here with me. We're going to be talking about Bret Hart because he saw my comments about Bret this past week on X, and he said it's definitely a podcast conversation. So we're going to be doing that at some point in the near future.
I can see how people would think like he thinks highly of himself.
Yes.
Like he thinks very highly of himself,
After
and
making
his
it.
whole
Yeah.
like, I'm the best there is, the best there was, right? Like the best there ever will be. Like
Pretty
I can
much.
see that you're like, are you? Like really?
Yeah.
I can see that. But you know. When you're a little girl growing up and he's wearing pink and he has these cool sunglasses and he beats the crap out of people, right? I love the submissions, right? So, you know, but I get it now as I'm older. I can totally see why people are not fans of, a fan of his. I get it.
And don't get me wrong, I get mad at people for breaking kayfabe, even though kayfabe is dead. The kayfabe is more alive in soap operas than it is in wrestling. Somebody put out a picture not too long ago of one of the of behind the scenes of a couple of the events that took place on GH, and it's like, don't break the fourth wall. I want to think that they actually fell off the side of a boat into the ocean rather than just onto a crash pad.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like, yeah, kayfabe is still alive in soap operas more than wrestling, but it's like, I get mad at people for hating somebody based on, their actions in real life, right? And we've talked about it earlier, that whether it's Vince or Benoit or whatever, but it's like I've learned so much. I read Bret Hart's book, and like I said, I can respect his talent, but I think he believed his own character too much, and kind of bought in. I'm the best there is, the best there was, the best there ever will be. When it's like, yeah, it's a catchphrase, it's the saying, but it's a predetermined style of athleticism.
Right. Right. It's like, calm down, dude. Calm
Yeah,
down.
calm down.
Like,
You
yeah.
didn't actually win the championships that you've had. They were given to you because of whatever the case was. So, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So, lo and
Oh,
behold.
and you know what? I'm also I always was a Booker T fan.
Yes, absolutely.
I think he's like amazing. I think he's such, I don't. I feel like he should have even been bigger than he was. I always felt that way.
I completely agree with you. I think Booker T had the all-around package. He was a great athlete. He was great on the mic. And he can do serious wrestling. He could do comedy. I mean, the whole supermarket brawl with Steve Austin back during the invasion angle was great. I agree. I think he should have been bigger. And it's like I made a comment when A&E did their biography, their superstar series on Booker T. I'm like, Booker T made it. I'm like, I'm glad that he was included because We've all heard that Vince McMahon doesn't do well with acts or whatever that he doesn't create. Booker T came over with the WCW. So it wasn't something that Vince created, but he actually excelled. You could say at WrestleMania 19, he should have beaten Triple H for the title at that point, whatever. But he ended up winning the world title in WWE as King Booker. That King Booker character was absolutely fantastic,
It
and got him to new heights. So I'm glad. I am very, very happy that they actually included him in the Superstar Series, and he actually got to that level. I completely agree with you. Booker T is one of the greatest ever to do it. And I've always been a fan of his too.
And nobody really talks about him, but I was a D'Lo Brown fan, yeah. I liked him. I was a
I like
fan.
him. D'Lo Brown was a great wrestler. He didn't get nearly what he should have because of, and honestly, because of the time frame, because of the Attitude Era was so big. How many top names did you have during that time? You had Austin, you had The Rock, you had Triple H, you had The Undertaker, Kane, Mick Foley, Ron Simmons, Bradshaw, all of the, so yeah, unfortunately, guys like D'Lo Brown, who were fantastic, if they were in any other era, they would have
Same,
been
yeah.
a Hall of Famer. And don't get me wrong, he should still be in the Hall of Fame, but yeah, he's not remembered as much because of the era he was in.
Yeah, I agree. And they also didn't have as many shows
Yeah.
like they do now to showcase everyone.
Exactly.
It's kind of like it's funny because it's kind of like Young and the Restless. Their cast is so big that Pete they have to take breaks.
Yeah.
Like people have a lot of time off because they don't have enough time to have everyone in the story
Yeah.
or in a story. So
Exactly.
yeah, it's kind of, I feel like you're right. It was similar to that kind of situation. He kind of got thrown in the mix and, there was so many other people
Yeah.
that it, yeah.
And it's the same thing with Bold and Beautiful. It's like we just came off of a month where there were only six characters on the scene, with Eric in the hospital and Ridge and Brooke and Donna and Steffi and Finn and just those six. Like, yeah, you had Bridget there and you had Thorn there and you had a couple people pop in and out every so often, but for the most part, for a full month, it was just like six characters.
It was. Yeah.
So I get it. And of course, Bold and Beautiful is a half-hour show compared to every other soap that's an hour. But it goes back to the fact that there's such an inflated cast that you're right. They do have to take breaks, and they do have to rotate talent in and out.
I feel like GH is like that. I feel like I was studying up on the cast and I'm like, oh my, it's like 5 pages. I'm
Yeah.
like, how many people are on this show?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
DH is like that too. So it's like and you kind of have to have it that way because you need people that you can just bring in for a day or two that, well, you can't do a skeleton cast, even though, it's like you want to say they have an inflated cast, but not everybody's gonna have a storyline. They're just gonna be in there for a bit. But then, in 3 months, they'll have a storyline and somebody else won't. Again, it comes back to contracts, come back to everything else. So you're going to see, certain people just as supporting for right now. And it's the same in wrestling, it's the same in, everywhere. WWE is so loaded at the top right now. You've got Cody, you've got Roman, you've got Seth, you've got Drew. You've got Sammy, you've got Kevin, you've got, Jimmy
Yeah, there's a lot.
Solo. And that's not even including Punk, who's out with an injury and he'll be back soon. And if they end up bringing Brock back, and then you got the upper cover.
And Drew,
Yeah.
who for some reason, Drew just he's just one he's like, I don't care who you are, I'm just gonna make enemies with everyone.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm gonna come out, I'm gonna talk smack. I'm gonna hit you. I'm gonna hit you. I don't care.
Yes.
I'm mad. He's obviously he's mad, right? Because he wants a title shot.
Yeah.
Oh man, talk about a big guy. So we went to Raw
Yeah.
on the 22nd, the one in New Orleans.
Yeah. Yep.
And he is a huge guy. And
Yes.
I mean it as a compliment. But like even from where we were sitting, you could tell the size difference between him and the other wrestlers. It was like, wow, that is a big guy.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I went to Raw back in Hartford back in June, and he's huge. It was good to see Cody in person. And I will be live at WrestleMania. I got my tickets. It was a bucket
That's so
list spot.
exciting.
And yes, actually, that weekend I'm gonna be going. I think I added up six wrestling shows in 5 days, because I got tickets to an indie event that's at WrestleCon at the old ECW arena for Thursday night. Then I'll be at SmackDown Friday night with the Hall of Fame ceremony. Then on Saturday is NXT's Stand and Deliver, and then WrestleMania Night One, and then I'll be at WrestleMania Night Two and Monday Night Raw. So yeah.
That's so exciting.
It's a bucket list item for me, so I checked it off for this year. So I literally booked my hotel a year in advance, and then got
Oh,
afterwards. So
wow. Yeah, that's on my bucket list for sure to go to WrestleMania. Yeah.
yeah, because when it was in New York, I'm like, I should go, but I was just not in the right place for it. But I was able to, put the money together for this one in Philly, and I'm like, you know what? I'm just gonna pull the trigger. I'm gonna check it on my bucket list, and I'm gonna go. So, yeah.
Because guys, I don't know if you have checked, but it is not cheap.
No, it's
It
not.
is not cheap.
I think all total with the because I got the priority one of the priority passes, so it includes like meet and greets and other stuff for the WrestleMania ticket. I'm in the upper deck for that. For both nights together, and the ex VIP experience was $600, which really wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be.
Right.
And then for the combination of SmackDown, NXT, and Monday Night Raw at the Wells Fargo Center, that ticket, which I actually got pretty good seats for that was $400. And then
Oh, wow.
The show at ECW Arena was $50. So, and then I'm very blessed that I was working at a hotel at the time, so I had enough IHG points to get my entire hotel stay paid for free. So,
Awesome.
that helped out a lot.
Yeah, because the hotel is what kills me. Like, I could go visit James whenever because the flight's not that much, but it's the hotel.
Yes.
Like, when you get the hotel so much, it costs way more than like the flight or
Yep.
your food or anything,
Exactly.
So that's good.
Yeah. So, my next step is I'm waiting to get in touch with the press area of WWE to try to get press passes for the media and press events after the events, the press conferences and stuff, and get included with that I'm waiting on and I'm working on. So I'm like, I already bought my ticket, so I don't want to come to the event for free. I just want to be included with the press
Right.
conference.
Yeah.
We'll see. All right. So, I mean, we've been going at this thing for a little over an hour at this point, and I think instead of going over Monday Night Raw, we'll kind of end it here. And then I'd love to invite you back on at some point and have you come back on. We'll go over whether it's Elimination Chamber show or something to that effect. I love you have you come back on.
I would love to. It was so fun.
Where could people find you online?
You can find me on all the socials at The Bold and Beautiful Podcast
Okay.
and at ARUS360. So
Okay.
ARUS360 is my personal, but I do post on there I post on there wrestling stuff and I post on the other one, the soap stuff. So and I have like other things, like I belly dance, so I'll post that on there sometimes,
Okay.
and like just like what's going on in my personal life.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you.
Oh, can I say one thing?
Yeah.
Super conflicted about the whole Rock and Cody thing. I am a huge Cody fan.
Yes.
I love Cody. Love him. Love him. I want him to beat Roman so bad. It's driving me crazy. Like, but then I like The Rock too. So that was a very conflicting situation. But I have to say, I want Cody to beat Roman. And then The Rock can beat up Roman after, like you said. That's fine.
I completely agree with you. I feel like the Rock Roman match doesn't need a title because they're going to be talking, they're going to be going after the head of the table anyways, right? The head of the bloodline. So it doesn't need the world title. So let Cody finish his story at WrestleMania. Have the Rock be special guest ref, or if not, you just have the Rock kind of interfere, be the enforcer to make sure Solo doesn't get involved again, or whatever the case may be. Have Cody win at WrestleMania to finish the story, and then set up the Rock and Roman for SummerSlam,
Yeah.
or even next year's WrestleMania, to kind of build, give it a year build like Rock and Cena had. So I agree. I think that Cody should finish the story at WrestleMania.
Me too. I just had to say that because I love Cody so much.
Yeah, no, I am a really big Cody fan because I like, even though I'm not a huge AEW fan, I like that Cody had the balls to go out on his own and make his name bigger. He left WWE because he had a bad, character with Stardust, and he just wasn't, he didn't, wasn't feeling it. He went out, he went to the indies, he did a lot of the indies. He with Omega and the Bucks and the Elite, they came up with All In, which was the predecessor to AEW. And he went on, he had the balls to create his own competition for WWE. When he saw that, that Tony Khan and the Young Bucks were going the way that they didn't like, he got out of there and he went back to WWE 10 times bigger, 10 times better. And now he's a main eventer and he's going to be the world champion. You don't win the Royal Rumble. You don't win the Royal Rumble 2 years in a row without being in serious contention. So I get, I absolutely, I 100%
I
agree with you.
don't like hate Roman or anything.
Right,
Like,
yeah.
I'm not anti-Roman. I'm not a huge Roman fan, I'll be honest. I'm on the fence about him. He's impressive, no doubt. Like, he's impressive. But I want Cody to beat him.
I do too, absolutely. All right, so Amanda, thank you so much for coming on. We'll have you back at some point, and we'll definitely do another show together. And for those of you out there watching and listening, definitely go ahead, hit the like button, subscribe, get notified. And also, if you're listening to the podcast feed, give us a 5-star Apple review rating, 10 stars if it's in the Tokyo Dome. But definitely a 5-star Apple review, a Spotify. We are officially an affiliate of WWE Shop, where you can get this awesome CM Punk shirt. Go to studsandsquaredcircle.com/wrestling merch, and that'll give you our affiliate code. And we earn commission from WWE sales as long as you use our affiliate code. Go help us out with buy me a coffee, buymeacoffee.com/studsandsquaredcircle, or even patreon.com/studsandsquaredcircle. Both those have exclusive content as well as show notes, especially for the soap operas. All the notes from Y&R, B&B Days, and GH from last week are up there for anybody as a free preview. And just go help us out. But thank you all for watching. Thank you all for listening. This is Amanda. I'm Vinny, and I will see you next time with Squared Circle News. Have a great night, everybody.